Today is the 10th day of June. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. Welcome, welcome, welcome around the global campfire. I am Brian, and grateful to be here with you today. I say it a lot because it'll never not be true, I suppose. I'm grateful that we have this place to be, this safe oasis that we create, a safe space for each other. We gather around this global campfire, and we're on the same page as a community. We're moving through the scriptures together, and we've intentionally decided that, you know, we're going to be safe for each other. This is a safe place to let the baggage go outside the circle here of the campfire. Like, out there at the outer boundaries, we can lay down our packs and lay down our burdens and lay down our addictions and lay down our offenses and our bitterness and our brokenness. We can lay down our injustices. We can lay down our betrayals. We can lay down whatever cares of life are just wrapped around us like seaweed. And we can lay down the things that are wrapped around us like chains. All that stuff, whatever we want, it's waiting. It's not going anywhere. It's ours to go pick up. So don't worry. If you really gotta have it, it's not going anywhere. And nobody's gonna steal your crap, right? Who's gonna steal our addictions? Who's going to steal our brokenness and our bitterness? We have like our own stuff to deal with, so it's safe. But man, coming in here without those burdens and us just sitting together, keeping warm, keeping each other warm, allowing the scriptures to wash over us and into us. Well, if we're just open and we're not obsessing about all those other things, I mean, we may find new perspectives. And so I'm grateful to be here. I'm grateful for that next step forward, which leads us back into the book of 1 Kings, where we are working our way through King Solomon's reign. King Solomon brings the children of Israel to their finest hour, and that's where we are right now. Like, we're moving through those days of Solomon's reign where everything is finally going right. The children of Israel are experiencing respect, prosperity, peace, and all that God promised. So let's enjoy it while we can. 1 Kings chapter 7. But Solomon took 13 years to build his own palace and finally finished it. He built his own palace out of timber supplied from the forest of Lebanon. It was 100 cubits long, 50 cubits wide, 20 cubits tall, and was constructed on four rows of cedar pillars, with cedar beams interlocking the pillars. There were 45 pillars paneled with cedar above the side chambers, with rows of 15 pillars, with three rows of framed windows facing each other in three ranks. All the doorways and doorposts had rectangular frames, with the doorways facing each other in three tiers. There was also a hall of pillars 50 cubits long and 30 cubits wide, and a porch in front with pillars, and a canopy in front of the pillars. He constructed the judgment hall for the throne room where he would be ruling, paneling it with cedar from floor to ceiling. Solomon's personal dwelling quarters, a separate court behind the hall, was of similar workmanship. Solomon also built a house similar to this for Pharaoh's daughter, whom Solomon had married. All of these were made with expensive stones, pre-cut according to specifications, hand-sawed inside and out from the foundation to the coping, including from inside to the great court. The foundation was made of expensive stone, including large stones, 10 cubits long, and stones 8 cubits long. Above these were expensive stones, cut according to specifications, and cedar. So the great court was surrounded by three rows of cut stone, along with a row of cedar beams, just like the inner court of the Lord's temple, and the porch surrounding the temple. King Solomon sent for Hiram from Tyre, the son of a widow from the tribe of Naphtali, whose father was from Tyre. A bronze worker, he was wise, knowledgeable, and was skilled in all sorts of bronze working. He went to King Solomon and did all of his work. He fashioned two bronze pillars, each one 18 cubits high, with a circumference of 12 cubits. He also crafted two capitals of cast bronze and set them on top of the pillars. The height of one capital was 5 cubits, and the height of the other capital was 5 cubits. A network of lattice work on top of the pillars was inlaid with ornamental wreaths and chains. The top of each pillar containing 7 groups of ornamental structures. The pillars contained 2 rows of ornaments shaped like pomegranates around the lattice work, covering the top of each pillar. The capitals on top of each pillar above the rounded lattice work contained 4 cubits of lily designs, with the capitals on the 2 pillars covered by 200 pomegranates in rows around both the capitals above the adjoining and rounded lattice work. That's how he designed the pillars at the portico of the sanctuary. When he set up the right pillar, he named it Jachin. When he set up the left pillar, he named it Boaz. The work on the pillars was finished with a lily design on top of the pillars. Hiram also made a sea of cast metal 10 cubits from brim to brim, circular in shape and 5 cubits and 30 cubits in its inner circumference. Under the brim, completely encircling it, or 2 rows of gourds inlaid as part of the original casting, 10 to a cubit. The sea stood on top of 12 oxen, 3 faced north, 3 faced west, 3 faced south, and 3 faced east. The sea was set on top of them, and their hind parts faced the center. The reservoir, which held about 2,000 baths, stood about a handbreadth thick, and its rim looked like the brim of a cup or of a lily blossom. Hiram also made 10 bronze water carts. Each one was 4 cubits wide, 4 cubits long, and 3 cubits high. The carts were designed with borders between cross pieces, and on the borders between the cross pieces were lions, oxen, and cherubim. A pedestal was placed above the cross pieces, and beneath the lions and oxen, there were wreaths hanging down. Each cart had 4 bronze wheels equipped with bronze axles with 4 support feet. Beneath the basin were cast support structures made like wreaths on each side. The opening to each water cart inside the crown on top was 1 cubit wide, with engravings on the opening. The borders to the frames surrounding the opening were square, not round. The 4 wheels were placed underneath the borders, and the axles for the wheels were on the stand. Each wheel stood 1.5 cubits high. The wheels resembled those of a chariot, with their axles, rims, spokes, and hubs made of cast bronze. 4 supports stood at the 4 corners of each cart, built into the carts themselves. On top of each stand was a circular structure, 0.5 cubits high, with its braces and support frames integral with it, forming a single piece. Hiram engraved ornamental cherubim, lions, and palm trees on the surfaces of the supports and frames, wherever there was space to do so, and encircled the artwork with wreaths. He made 10 identical water carts by using the same plans, castings and shapes for all of them. Hiram also fashioned 10 bronze basins, each holding about 40 baths, each basin measuring 4 cubits in diameter, with one basin for each stand. He set 5 of the stands on the right side of the temple and 5 on the left side of the temple. He set the bronze sea on the right side of the temple eastward facing the south. Hiram also made the basins, shovels, and bowls to complete the work that he performed for King Solomon in the Lord's temple, including the 2 pillars and the bowls for the capitals that stood on top of the 2 pillars, along with the 2 lattices that covered the 2 bowls of the capitals that stood on top of the pillars, plus the 400 pomegranates for the 2 lattices, that is, the 2 rows of pomegranates for each lattice to cover the 2 bowls of the capitals that stood on top of the pillars. The 10 stands with the 10 basins on the stands, the single bronze sea and the 12 oxen that stood under the sea, and the pots, shovels, and bowls, all of these utensils that Hiram made for King Solomon for the Lord's temple were made from polished bronze. The king had them cast in the clay ground between Sukkot and Zaretan in the Jordan plain. Solomon never inventoried the weight of the bronze used because there were too many utensils, so the weight of the bronze used was never ascertained. Solomon made all the furnishings that were placed in the Lord's temple, including the golden altar and the golden table on which the bread of the presence was placed, along with the lampstands, 5 on the right side and 5 on the left in front of the inner sanctuary, all made of pure gold, as well as the flower blossoms, lamps, and tongs of gold, and the cups, snuffers, bowls, spoons, and the fire pans, all made of pure gold, and hinges for the doors of the inner sanctuary, the most holy place, and for the gates of the temple that led to the nave, also of gold. Thus, all the work that King Solomon performed in the Lord's temple was finished. Then Solomon brought in the articles that had been dedicated by his father David, including silver, gold, and other utensils, and he placed them into storage in the treasuries of the Lord's temple. Acts 7, 30 through 50. After 40 years had passed, an angel appeared to him in the flames of a burning bush in the desert near Mount Sinai. When Moses saw it, he was amazed at the sight, and when he approached the bush to look at it, the voice of the Lord said, "I am the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." Moses became terrified and didn't dare to look. Then the Lord told him, "Remove your sandals from your feet, because the place where you are standing is holy ground. I have surely seen the oppression of my people in Egypt. I've heard their groans, and I've come down to rescue them. Now come, I'll send you to Egypt." This same Moses, whom they rejected by saying, "Who made you ruler and judge?" was the man whom God sent to be both their ruler and deliverer, with the help of the angel who had appeared to him in the bush. It was he who led them out, performing wonders and signs in Egypt, at the Red Sea, and in the wilderness for 40 years. It was this Moses who told the Israelites, "God will raise up a prophet for you from among your own brothers, just as he did me." This Moses is the one who was in the assembly in the wilderness with the angel who spoke to him on Mount Sinai, and to our ancestors. He received living truths to give to us, but our ancestors refused to obey him. Instead, they rejected him and wished to return to Egypt. They told Aaron, "Make gods for us who will lead us." this Moses who led us out of the land of Egypt, we don't know what happened to him. At that time, they even made a calf to be their idol, offered a sacrifice to it, and delighted in what they had made with their hands. So God turned away from them and gave them over to worship the heavenly bodies. As it is written in the book of the prophets, O house of Israel, you didn't offer me slaughtered animals and sacrifices those 40 years in the wilderness, did you? You even took along the tent of Moloch, the star of your god Rephan, and the images you made in order to worship them. So I will take you into exile as far as Babylon. Our ancestors had the tent of testimony in the wilderness constructed, just as the one who spoke to Moses directed him to make it, according to the pattern he had seen. Our ancestors brought it here with Joshua when they replaced the nations that God drove out in front of our ancestors, and it was here until the time of David. He found favor with God and asked to design a dwelling for the house of Jacob, but it was Solomon who built a house for him. However, the Most High does not live in buildings made by human hands. As the prophet says, Heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. What kind of house can you build for me, declares the Lord? Or what place is there in which I can rest? It was my hand that made all these things, wasn't it? Psalm 128, a song of ascents, the blessings of fearing God. How blessed are all who fear the Lord as they follow in His ways. You will eat from the work of your hands. You will be happy and it will go well for you. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house, your children like olive shoots surrounding your table. See how the man will be blessed who fears the Lord. May the Lord bless you from Zion, and may you observe the prosperity of Jerusalem every day that you live. And may you see your children's children. Peace be on Israel. Proverbs 16:31-33. Gray hair is a crown of glory. It is obtained by following a righteous path. Whoever controls his temper is better than a warrior, and anyone who has control of his spirit is better than someone who captures a city. The dice is cast into someone's lap, but the outcome is from the Lord. Okay, so in 1 Kings, we're continuing, right, to watch the reign of King Solomon and the development of the land and how it was governed, and this is, as I keep saying, this is the pinnacle, this is the apex, this is the mountaintop experience for the biblical ancient children of Israel. And so, we've worked since Genesis to get to this kind of mythic place, and they do get to experience the promised land in all its glory in a time of peace and prosperity. And so we've worked hard to get here. Let's enjoy this because that's not the whole story and we have to continue forward. Then in the book of Acts, we're continuing to listen to Saint Stephen. Stephen, the first martyr for the gospel, is defending himself by showing his pedigree before the High Council of the Hebrew people. And so he's accused of blasphemy. he's telling the whole story, and we get the benefit of his testimony, but we also get the benefit of review, because he's telling the story that got them to where they are. And man, that's the stories in the Old Testament that we have been working our way through. So he's even referring to Solomon today, and we're right there in the Old Testament. And our reading from Psalms, this is a really good example of how something profound happens when there is a blessing spoken over us. This is true of the biblical times. This is true of today. In all kinds of traditions, like when we speak the benediction, we hear the Lord bless you and keep you at church or whatever, at the end of a worship service. But any kind of affirmative blessing pronounced over us is profound. Words of affirmation. And that just reorients our hearts in ways that type of spiritual being seen and heard and validated, like we all need that, but for a spiritual blessing, the blessing of the Lord spoken over us, that reorients the atmosphere inside. So, yeah, let's just slow things down for a second. Imagine that we didn't just read some things. Imagine that imagine that these words are being spoken of you. In fact, don't imagine. I speak these words over you. How joyful are those who fear the Lord, all who follow his ways. You will enjoy the fruit of your labor. How joyful and prosperous you will be. Your wife will be like a fruitful grapevine, flourishing in your home. Your children will be like vigorous young olive trees as they sit around your table. That is the Lord's blessing for those who fear him. May the Lord continually bless you from Zion. May you see Jerusalem prosper as long as you live. May you live to enjoy your grandchildren. May Israel have peace. Isn't that amazing how, like, the Bible, if we're paying attention to what's happening, can speak life over us if we pay attention? These were words from a psalm of ascents. So these were spoken over people either as they entered the temple or they were departing. And they have been pronounced as a blessing for thousands of years, finding their way into the Bible. And we just spoke them over ourselves. And so may we receive the blessing as we move through our day. And Father, we thank you for that blessing. We're grateful for that blessing, receiving of that blessing. And we invite you, Holy Spirit, to lead us into all truth. We talked about all the stuff that may be just outside this campfire, things that we may have left sitting there. We're asking right now for wisdom on how to navigate that. And we ask that you show us every single thing that we can leave behind that is dead weight. Dead weight that we don't have to carry anymore. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com and the Daily Audio Bible app are home base. They are truly home base for everything that is Daily Audio Bible. A couple days ago, there was a big announcement because there was a brand new resource that we were releasing into the Daily Audio Bible Shop that was significantly worked on, significantly, intentionally, thoughtfully consulted over, and that was the launch of our new spiritual connection cards. Connection cards, that kind of resource. I mean, that has been available for a long time. And I told the story a couple days ago, so listen on Monday. Listen, if you didn't get to listen, that's the whole story. But Jill and I have found benefit in communicating, you know, just finding things to talk about, remembering things that come up in that kind of fashion. And we really just started realizing, you know, the things that challenge communication in any relationship aren't really that different than the things that challenge our spiritual connection to God. And so, what if we made, you know, connection cards to God? Like, what if we used the scriptures and we used a significant amount of mental health knowledge now and consulted and, you know, kind of really went into the psyche of the human need emotionally. And what is healthy, and you know, what challenges that kind of health? And just ask ourselves, what questions, what conversation starter might we have in initiating a meaningful, open conversation with God that moves beyond our doubts and our bitterness and our brokenness and all the things that may interfere. But then we also kind of flipped seats and we're like, man, God created us and knows us and wants to be known by us for whatever reason, loves us, wants the connection with us, so much so that he's willing to be in covenant with us. And will not betray that covenant or break it. That's a significant commitment. That's profound love in the face of our shenanigans, shall we say. And so, man, what kind of questions might God ask us? And what might it be like to use the scriptures and allow that to happen, like allow ourselves to be asked questions that do, you know, do what Jesus did, which is look beyond any facade and any place to hide and call out the truth of what's really going on. What would it be like to engage that way? And that's what these spiritual connection cards are, and that's what we created over the last couple of years in our really profoundly, like, we've been waiting a long time to bring these onto the community, a resource that we really prayed about, and I really felt in my heart, like, yeah, this is very important work. We're starting something here as a resource that's actually going to move the needle in some people's lives in profound ways. So very excited to offer them. They became available on Monday, and they have been flying. The need, it's hits the nerve of a felt need, a pain point in our spirituality. And so I definitely want to encourage you. I mean, I have found great benefit myself in these, and so especially like when I'm just flat. I'm just flattened, and I just, you know, don't have the energy that I need to, you know, just keep saying the right things because I'm not feeling the right things. So to be able to just be honest and engage, it's deeply, 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 deeply important. So you can find the spiritual connection cards in the Daily Audio Bible Shop. You can get to the Daily Audio Bible Shop either on the web at dailyaudiobible.com or in the app. And I encourage you to indeed get yourself a copy of these. And maybe it's, you know, it's not just you. You know a lot of people in this situation. If that's the case, this makes just a really, really, really incredible friendship offering. And so if you get five of these decks, we'll send you the sixth one free. Regardless, though, we're just truly, truly, humbly, enthusiastically, optimistically eager to watch God find ways into our lives through these kinds of resources. So check it out. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, you can do that at dailyaudiobible.com. There is a link on the homepage. If you're using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner. Or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app. That is the little red button up at the top. Or you can dial 877-942-4253. And that's it for today. I'm Brian. I love you. And I'll be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Father God, I come before your presence with thanksgiving in my heart. We worship your name, Lord. But you are a good, good Father. And you care for us, Lord. Thank you for my family here, the Lord. We pray you, God, for the cowgirl. She's amazing. Thank you for delivering her from depression, deep, deep depression. Praise you, Jesus, for helping her, for freeing her, Father God, from that. Thank you for her testimonies, dear God. Continue to use her here, dear Lord. And she continue to call. There's a lot of people in depression, dear Father God. And I pray, dear God, that you continue to use her as she shares her testimony, dear God, how you deliver her, dear Lord. I pray for her daughter. I think her name is Kayla. Father, I pray that you touch her foot, dear God, her leg, dear Lord. She got hurt, Father. She needs a miracle, dear Lord. I thank you for listening to us, Father. We sought you and you answer us, God. We put our trust in you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. This is Minita from Illinois. And God bless you, my sister. A big hug. I love you.
Hello, Daily Audio Bible. This is the apple of his eye in Florida. I would like prayer, please, for my son. He's had a surgery and he's having complications. He's a young man, he's 29, and now he's having complications that are kind of embarrassing for him at his age. And I would just pray that the surgery would be healed and he would no longer have any complications. His name is Robert. I really appreciate it. God bless you all. God bless Brian and Jill, the Hardin family, and you, my family. Thank you.
Hey, Dabbers, this is Slave of Jesus in North Carolina. All right, Holy Spirit, let's roll. We are praying for KSD as you are, you know, thinking about your son's life and celebrating that as you with your terms. Also praying for Ed's legs to start working. And finally, praying for Joshua. Amen to prayers for Joshua and his brain bleed. If you guys could pray for me, I am dealing with multiple close people in my life with mental health conditions, and I've been pretty good about handling one of them at a time, but when they're all doing it at the same time, I am getting caregiver burnout, and I'm blessed that I can kind of shuffle my work around. But yeah, I'm getting burned out myself. So just surgery for my wife upcoming, and her fears about that, that the psychologists and psychiatrists start working better for my daughter, Jordan, and for my grandson, or granddaughter that's on the way, for my daughter, Amber. Just pray for all that. Appreciate it. Love you all. Have a great day.
Hi, this is Taken with Love from Louisiana, and I'm calling out to Anonymous in California, but actually this prayer is for Mrs. Anonymous. Every time you call in for someone else, I immediately start praying for you, for what all you've been going through with your marriage. But today, the Lord said, wait a minute. Shift your prayers and start praying for her. She's the one who needs her heart changed towards me. I know that the stepdaughter is a huge component in this. But you know what's the bigger picture, Anonymous? It's her heart. God wants her heart. And she didn't leave a long time ago like she thought she was, and she thought it was for financial reasons. But God wants her heart. So let's pray for her. Oh, Heavenly Father, I lift up Mrs. Anonymous to you. She may think it's over because she has checked out. But God, you are the restorer. You are the one who can forgive and cause us to forget whatever has gone on. We are two imperfect human beings being married to one another. And the whole reason that we are together is so that we can grow into your image and your likeness. Father, she can't leave now. She needs you. So my prayers have shifted to her. Would you please, Lord, reach out to her? Would you send something supernatural to get her attention? Have your way, Holy Spirit, I pray, in Jesus' name.
Hi, Daily Audio Bible. It's Lucas calling in from Alberta. I'm just asking for a prayer request for just for faith. I feel the Lord is telling me to move back to Calgary. I lived in Yellowknife for 16 years, and then I moved to the big city of Calgary, and it was just too much too quickly. And now it's 4 years later. I feel he's speaking to me audibly through visions, and just as of last night through a dream, and even through the church service. I'm just trying to push past my flesh, because most of that year I spent unemployed. It's something I'm just currently struggling with. I'm just, not to say I'm not trying here, it's just something I'm trying to push past and look on Indeed for jobs and actually do that transition. Thank you all for your prayers. I really appreciate it. God bless you all.
Hey, DB. My name is Dan. I'm calling from Arizona. And this is my first time calling in. And I could use some prayers. In January of 2025, I suffered a pretty severe stroke and learned that I had actually been having strokes over the previous 3 years. And the part of my brain that was most affected deals directly with balance. So activities like walking have become a little troublesome. And I could use some prayer for healing and strength, and plenty of encouragement. Thank you.